You're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com soundtrack mixtape podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme. A setting, similar plots, maybe something else. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. Welcome back to In the Grand Theme of Things. Going to be a little bit quieter tonight. Not just for effect, it's because I'm actually trying to be quiet so everyone can sleep. Don't wake the baby. But it's kind of appropriate in an atmospheric sort of way. We also have a thunderstorm going on outside. This is perfect. This is really perfect. Because this week on In the Grand Theme of Things, we are talking about the theremin. That odd electronic instrument associated with the otherworldly. Although it's kind of funny, most of what we're going to be listening to in this first installment of Night of the Theremin isn't sci-fi at all. Not even remotely. Which is something I've been a little bit self-conscious about with previous installments of the show, because it seems like I have quite a sci-fi heavy soundtrack collection. And I have a theory about that that I'll get into at a later date as to why there is a fairly hefty crossover between people who are mad about soundtrack music and who are also fans of sci-fi movies. Anyway, the theremin is an electronic instrument that basically runs off the principle of interferometry. You don't touch it, you move your hands around it, and where your hands are changes the voltage picked up by the instrument. And that alters the pitch of the notes. It is a musical instrument of Russian design, pre-Soviet Russia, as a matter of fact. And I mentioned the theremin previously when we were doing several podcasts about the blaster beam, and that's sort of what gave me the idea to go ahead and move on to another instrument-specific topic, because I mentioned the theremin in the same breath with the blaster beam as a musical instrument with rather limited applications. I may have to eat my words, having done my research, having done my listening. Well, we'll see what you think. First piece we're going to listen to is a suite of music by Miloš Rozsa for the film Spellbound, which was released in 1945. This was Rozsa's only work for Hitchcock, who was normally associated with Bernard Herrmann. This is also a case of the producer, who happened to be David O. Selznick, very, very big early Hollywood mogul, the producer, director, and composer just being at each other's throats throughout the production of the movie. Rozsa himself brought the theremin to the table as a way to highlight Spellbound's many dream sequences, and he suggested the instrument as a way to segue in and out of the dream sequences. When Hitchcock and Selznick heard it, they had differing opinions. Selznick thought it was such an ear-grabbing sound that he wanted more theremin throughout the score. Hitchcock was adamantly against that idea because he was afraid that the music was going to distract people from his fine Hitchcockian filmmaking. And I just said Hitchcockian without even cracking a smile. The funny thing is, Miloš Rozsa had already used the theremin in another score recorded that year for a movie the movie had already been produced and scored, but it was not released until a few weeks after Spellbound. That movie was The Lost Weekend. When The Lost Weekend came out a few weeks after Spellbound, David O. Selznick was infuriated that his composer had basically talked him into using a sound that was all over this other movie as well. Ironically, Spellbound was nominated for an Oscar for the 18th Academy Awards, held in 1946. It lost the Oscar to Miloš Rozsa's score for Lost Weekend. Just a little note about this. This is not the original recording from 1945. Entrada Records used Rojas' original sheet music, notes, and carefully listened to the audio of the movie itself and re-recorded everything digitally as closely as they possibly could to the original film cues. It's quite a beautifully engineered recording. It may not be too much of an exaggeration to say that the re-recording sounds better than the original, but I am just alerting you to the fact that this is a re-recording and not the original studio sessions from 1945, as some people are really sticklers about that. When it's done this well, I find it hard to be too terribly picky. Here is some music from Spellbound, 1945 movie, 1945 Alfred Hitchcock movie, no less. The music is by Milos Rocha. music was from Spellbound, 1945 Alfred Hitchcock thriller scored by Milos Rocha, who's also the composer on our next piece. The music from Lost Weekend. I should point out to you that Lost Weekend is an Oscar winner. It actually won several Oscars in March of 1946, the 18th Academy Awards, one of which was for Best Score. Just as a minor note that's completely apropos to nothing, the 1946 Academy Awards were the first post-World War II Oscars, and so they were the first time in several years that actual metal was used to plate the statues that were given out. During the war years, the Oscars were made of plaster, because the conventional wisdom was, of course, that all metal was needed for the war effort. Anyway, let's actually talk about the music here. Lost Weekend is also a 1945 film directed by Billy Wilder. The movie concerns an alcoholic novelist, and rather than any mystery element in the story, what the theremin signifies in Lost Weekend is the effect of drink on the main character. It's, you know, the warbly quality is meant to make you very uncertain about the character's motivations and what he's going to do next. I should also point out that the music you're going to hear from Lost Weekend, this is also not the original 1945 recording. This was recorded in 1996 from the original sheet music by the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra. Incidentally, that's the same orchestra who plays the theme music for this podcast, which we'll talk about another time. Anyway, let's have some Lost Weekend music by Milos Rocha. Music composed by Milos Rocha for The Lost Weekend, 1945 Billy Wilder thriller. The music was re-recorded in 1996 by the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra. All of the music you're hearing today, you can go to thelogbook.com/music/podcast. There you will find links allowing you to purchase your own copies. You can hear the whole thing, not just the stuff that I thought was especially interesting. And I will admit, since this is a podcast geared toward a specific instrument, my suites that I edited together from the full soundtracks are weighted heavily in favor of you hearing that instrument, but I also try to, provide some context for the whole thing. Moving along now to 1951, this is really one of the flashpoints where the theremin became forever associated with science fiction filmmaking. It's practically joined together at the hip from this point out. The movie was The Day the Earth Stood Still, a 1951 science fiction thriller directed by Robert Wise. The music was by Bernard Herrmann, who normally worked with Alfred Hitchcock. It's kind of odd that Hitchcock wound up working with Milos Rocha for Spellbound. Bernard Herrmann wound up working with Bob Wise for The Day the Earth Stood Still. This is one of those movies that probably needs no introduction. It has several socio-political messages that it's kind of interesting. A lot of people credit Star Trek, the original Star Trek, and Gene Roddenberry for using science fiction to make political points that were not going to make it past the network censors if they were expressed in terms of present-day issues. The Day the Earth Stood Still may be where that truly started on film, because it is strongly anti-violence and anti-nuke, which in 1951, boy, they probably thought somebody there was a commie. In fact, the studio, 20th Century Fox, was less concerned with the anti-violence and anti-nuclear aspects of The Day the Earth Stood Still. They were more concerned with the fact that the main character of the movie is resurrected, and the studio was much more concerned with making sure that the audience knew that in no way was anyone connected with the movie claiming that this character was Jesus Christ from the future. That's actually what people were worried about then. Actually, I could see someone having the same concern now for about as much reason, which is not much at all. Anyway, this is where the theremin begins to be stapled together with sci-fi and shoved into the same drawer. The music is from 1951. This is the original recording by Bernard Herrmann, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Thank you. Music from The Day the Earth Stood Still by Bernard Ehrman. Stuff just makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And that's really the point at which the theremin finds its context in terms of sci-fi and horror. And it had a long history in that genre, to the point that it is somewhat unfairly stereotypically associated with that genre, those genres of filmmaking. So the heyday of the theremin there in the 1940s and 50s, and of course, in the 1960s, it practically became a cliche of its own. When we come back to this topic, when we come back to the night of the theremin, thunder right on cue, that's great, we're going to shift things forward a few decades to a point at which the theremin came back into use, at least a little bit briefly, in the 90s, if you can believe that. Thanks for listening. This is In the Grand Theme of Things. As always, visit thelogbook.com/music/podcast. We will direct you to where you can purchase your own copies of all of this great music. Thanks for listening. That's all for now. In the Grand Theme of Things, we'll be back next week with more movie, TV, and game music connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/music/podcast for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing the commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.